Kyle Goon covers the Utes for the Salt Lake Tribune. We'll ask him a couple of those questions. Goon, what's up, man?
What's up, dudes? How you guys doing? How was your holiday?
They were great. I had a great time over the holidays. How about you? Did you go back east?
I did go back east. And you know what? I just, it was a great time. I mean, you know, Utah was in Hawaii, but, you know, I was wearing a swimsuit too, just sort of in spirit, you know, not outside, but inside.
That's strange.
You know, just kind of like imagining what my life would have been like if I were in Honolulu.
Wait,
but
hold on a second.
Otherwise, it was really good, you know.
So the trib couldn't pony up to get you out to Hawaii? They made you work from afar? Brutal.
Little known fact, Goon Squad and I once ran into each other at the airport in Baltimore, Maryland.
Really?
It's actually funny because I was thinking about that. That was like a year ago. And then you know who else was on that flight? Kareem Copeland from the AP.
Yeah.
Same flight.
Yeah, I mean.
The three most important sports personalities in the state. I can't think of anyone else who's more important than the three of us.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds
right. I'm going to lean towards the three. Kyle, is this running Utes team, is it starting to gel? Is this more of what we should expect out of this team? A split down in Arizona, they played Arizona tough. They beat an Arizona State team that can score a lot of points. We saw them already knock off Colorado. Is this about what we should see out of this team? Should we expect more growth as the season goes on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about, you know, what you could expect. I mean, you know, I had a hard time beforehand seeing them going down to McHale Center and winning with the team they had. And there were just some bad matchups. And Arizona, you know, one thing they always do really well, especially in their own building, is kind of control the pace and tempo. And I don't think Utah is at that point yet. But I think you obviously see some potential for what these guys can do, especially offensively. And Kyle Kuzma scoring 26. David Collette, he's scored in double digits in every game since he's joined the Utes. You know, they've got some really good low post threats. And I think the biggest step between them and becoming, you know, an NCAA caliber team is really just kind of getting consistency out of the backcourt. They need guys to kind of take care of the ball and set up the offense. And Lorenzo Bonham and Cedric Bearfield, you know, I think they really need to develop at a faster pace. To really get Utah there, especially in a week when you're playing two ranked teams. But you know, I'm not really surprised at what Utah is to this point, and it's about kind of where I expected them to be.
Personnel wise, Utah is a pretty interesting squad this year. We've obviously seen some development over the last 2 years from Kyle Kuzma, and his numbers in certain games reflect really what he can be, sort of at the ceiling. And, of course, there were the two late additions. Which of those guys do you think proves to be more valuable over the course of a full season? We've seen really good things out of Collette so far, but a lot of people think that Bearfield's ceiling's higher.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with that. I think Bearfield's ceiling could be higher, but he's got a longer way to go. And that's just, to be frank, I wasn't sure when I heard he was a great scorer, and I think – evidently from that 35-point game, no matter who you're playing, 35 points is a big number. And you know, that sort of indicates how hot he can get. But, you know, there's just that hot and cold. I mean, he airballed a three at Arizona, if I'm remembering correctly, and his target can sometimes be way off. And then defensively, you know, when you think about what Larry Krzyzewski asked for from his players, he's just got to get better. And that was apparent from, you know, some of his early games against Prairie View and San Francisco. So, I mean, and when you look at what Dave is right now to Utah, I mean, the entire offense against Arizona stopped and started based on whether he was in the game or not. I mean, when he was in foul trouble, Utah's whole offense was in trouble because they didn't have another guy who can muscle down and score like Dave can. Now, Jace Johnson is physical, and he's got that element. Tyler Rawson is a little more skilled, and Kyle is a little more skilled, but they don't have the same bulk that Dave does. So, I mean, Dave Collette is the only kind of player of his kind that Utah actually has to score down low like that.
The rotation seems to have tightened up for Larry's group. The starters are playing a lot of minutes at this point. You're not getting a ton of production out of the bench. is this what we should expect going forward? Is Utah going to be a team that essentially plays six guys that get quite a few minutes, and everybody else is just getting bit pieces here and there?
I don't think necessarily. I mean, you know, I think Utah feels like one of its strengths is actually the depth of its bench, especially in the backcourt. When you have a kid like Bearfield who can put up 35 coming off the bench, I mean, that kind of speaks to the depth and versatility of the lineup. So, I mean, this last ASU game, only 4 points off the bench, but that's a situation in which the starters were playing so well. I mean, Kuzma's never going to come off the floor playing like that. Colette's never going to come off the floor playing like that. JoJo Zamora started out really well when no one was hitting shots. And Devin Daniels kind of created his own stuff. So, I mean, it's really hard in that situation to bring any of those four guys off the floor when they're playing well and giving some juice to the offense. So, you know, I think that will change, and I think we've obviously seen it change around a little bit. You know, there's going to be nights where JoJo's on and Lorenzo's on, and there's going to be nights where Cedric is on and Devin's on, and there's going to be some moving around and a little bit of versatility based on what kind of lineup they're playing and what kind of guys they need. I mean, you know, even Jace Johnson against Arizona had some solid defensive plays, even if he's not the most polished guy right now. And they were valuable minutes he played against two Arizona 7-footers. So, you know, there's going to be nights where he does play because they need him, or games against Arizona State where he's almost too big as to be a liability. So they're going to move that around a little bit.
Thursday matchup with USC. How does this go for the Utes?
I think Utah has an edge. One, because they've played so well at home, and you know, they've beaten nine straight Pac-12 teams who have visited the Huntsman Center. I think for whatever reason, it's just they got their mojo going on at home. And you know, USC is down one of their front court players, as far as we can tell, Benny Boatwright, who you know, is a valuable inside-outside guy for USC. The one advantage I'd really point to that is going to be a big concern for Utah is how USC is taking care of the ball. And they're really they have one of the lowest turnover ratios of any team in the country. And Utah obviously has not been that. So there could be a pretty big margin opening up in if Utah gives it away, and USC has a lot more experience in their backcourt with Jordan McLaughlin and Elijah Stewart, and those guys can really score points and get hot from 3-point range. But you know, Utah, they have superior size, they have a really good inside scoring ability, and when Colette and Kuzma get the ball in their hands near the rim, they've been pretty unstoppable this year. So I think as long as Utah's able to establish themselves inside and rebound the ball the way they're capable of doing, they can get a big advantage on the glass tomorrow night, I think. I think they can win it. It'll be close, but I think they can win it.
With UCLA coming up on Saturday as well, that's back-to-back ranked opponents. Is a split good enough for the Running Utes this weekend?
Yeah. I mean, UCLA is a championship contending caliber team, and you know, I mean, it's a tough matchup for just about anybody, just give the size they have, the speed they play at, and I mean, Oregon just barely got them at their place, and you know, that was a huge win for Oregon. But I mean, it just shows you, even, you know, where home court matters so much in college basketball, and you know, home teams win so much of the time. I mean, Oregon needed a crazy three-pointer by Dylan Brooks to knock them off. That's their only loss this year. So, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the games. I know you've seen the games because I've seen you tweet about them, Sweeney. You know, Lonzo Ball's incredible. But T.J. Leaf is quietly – I mean, T.J. Leaf is almost being outshined when he's potentially having an All-American type season himself. So, I mean, there's two really great players. They have other great experience, in their backcourt and guys who fill roles really nicely and really are comfortable running at that tempo. So, I mean, I think everyone is going to have a tough time stopping UCLA. I mean, if Utah is certainly going to fight, but I'd be hard-pressed to see how they come away with a victory against that caliber of team right now.
That's Kyle Goon of the Salt Lake Tribune. If you're not already following him on Twitter, you should remedy that at Kyle Goon. Super.
One of the three most important sports personalities in the state of Utah.
So it's the two of you and Kareem Copeland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. All right. I can't.
You should have seen the flight.
I can't disagree.
You should have seen the flight we were all on. It was basically Air Force One. There was special security because they wanted to make sure that we got to and fro safely.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did anyone recognize of the three of you besides you guys recognizing each other?
That's not important.
That's important.
That's not important at all.
Because I feel like I probably would have been signing autographs at some point. So, but it's just my guess.
Yeah.
Gunnar, thanks, man.
Goon Squad, next time, you know, get the pronunciation of Sweeney's name right, please.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brian Sweeney. I'll never forget that now.
That's how you say it.
Brian Sweeney.
My wife says I shouldn't let you guys get under my skin with that.
That means this is great.
That means,
means he went home
and complained
to his wife about it.
I actually thought, you know, your wife actually texted me before the segment started.
I'm sure.
It was hilarious.
How come you can get her on the phone? I called her in the last break. She didn't answer. Jeez.
It's fantastic. All right.
See you,
thanks.